Today, my dear faithful, is Palm Sunday. Also, as we begin this most holy week of the year, my dear faithful, we should remember that our Lord pours out wondrous graces during this time. This is especially true for any soul who may have been away from the sacraments for some time. Remember, it does not matter what sins someone has committed. It does not matter if someone has made bad confessions or sacrilegious communions, even if it was 20, 30 years ago, or have just been away from the confessional for years or even decades. Our Lord desires the salvation of the sinner. He desires his conversion and the salvation of his soul. All he wants you to do is humbly comply with his graces and to make a good confession, to repair the damage that has been done, to be absolved of your sins, and to be resolved not to offend him again. Our Lord, so kind he is, he will set aside the offenses you have committed, and he does not give them a second thought. And the priest, he is God's representative. He is there in the confessional to help you make a good confession. And if you need to, the priest will even go through an examination of conscience with you. Remember, to forgive your sins, our Lord lived, he suffered, and he died. What joy he will have then at a soul accepting his grace, turning away from the mire of sin, and return back to him by making a good confession. In the epistle taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Philippians, chapter 2. Brethren, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself as nothing, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and in habit found as a man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. For which cause God also hath exalted him, and hath given him a name which is above all names, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those that are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is in the glory of God the Father. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 21. At that time, when Jesus drew nigh to Jerusalem, and was come to Bethpage unto Mount Olivet, he sent two disciples, saying to them, Go ye into the village that is over against you, and immediately you shall find a donkey tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them to me. And if any man shall say anything to you, say ye that the Lord hath need of them, and forthwith he will let them go. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh to thee, meek, and sitting upon a donkey and a colt, the foal of her that is used to the yoke. And the disciples going did as Jesus commanded them. And they brought the donkey and the colt, and laid their garments upon them, and made him sit thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. And others cut boughs from the trees, and strewed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh to thee, meek. Words taken from the proper last gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, my dear faithful, we commemorate the glorious entry of our Lord into Jerusalem. On this day, when our Lord and the apostles were drawing near to the holy city, our Savior stopped and asked the apostles to bring him a donkey. Jesus Christ then rode the donkey into Jerusalem. Now, this may not mean much to us, but to the Jews it was a tremendous sign. We do not know if they recognized it or they simply did exactly what the prophet Zacharias of the Old Testament had prophesied. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout for joy, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh to thee, the just and Savior, meek and riding upon a donkey. For 3 years before this, our Lord had become famous for his teachings that stirred the people's hearts and his miracles that filled them with wonder. His fame had grown even greater when our Lord had raised Lazarus to life just a few weeks before this, after Lazarus had been dead and buried for 3 days. No prophet or judge of the Old Testament had ever worked such an outstanding miracle before. And now, just before a great feast of the Jews, he fulfills this prophecy of the Messiah so literally. And the people responded with full hearts. Hosanna to the Son of David, they cried out, thus calling Christ the Savior. For all knew that other prophecy, that the Messiah would be King David's descendant. The people ran to join in procession behind him, and even go before him to prepare the way. Some scrambled up the palm trees that grew in abundance by the road. Others seized whatever leafy boughs they could find. You see, the palm symbolized victory to the Jewish people, and the Messiah that they looked for would achieve victory after victory. As this procession moved along, the people waved the palms to and fro and spread the palms along the way that the donkey might walk upon them. But that was not enough. The multitude wanted to do still more. Many took the coats off their own backs to make a carpet for Jesus Christ to ride upon, lest even the animal he rode be dirtied. All the while, there was our Savior amidst all this jubilation, accepting this tribute from his people. He rode through, even as he foresaw the very different procession that was soon to come on Good Friday. Just 5 days later, in that same city with those same crowds, our Lord would be driven out and condemned as a criminal to die the ignominious death of crucifixion. Crowds would again surround our Lord, but this time most would be there to shout insults and blasphemies against him, to spit upon him, and to kick him when he fell. No cloaks would be spread before him to protect him from the road. Instead, they drew back as he was crushed under the weight of the cross and weakness from his wounds. In his arms, he held his throne, the cross, the giant piece of wood that weighed upon his shoulder, tearing what was left of his skin. For his entire body had been made one giant wound by the scourges that had been buried into his flesh and ripping it asunder. But there, amidst this procession of sorrow, there was our Savior, accepting their treatment of him, so peaceful and serene, so meek and mild. As the prophet quoted in today's gospel put it, Behold, thy king cometh to thee meek. That virtue of meekness, my dear faithful, is such a perfect summary of our Lord's treatment of us. You see, the virtue of meekness is defined as that virtue by which we restrain anger, bear with our neighbor in spite of his defects, and treat him with kindness. Anger is the passion that, when some injury is done, whether a real injury or imagined, the emotion of anger demands vengeance. It clamors for offenses to be punished, for justice to be done. And for us, usually leads to returning injustice for injustice. Of course, our Lord had every right to demand justice of us. He could have punished us for the injuries that we do him by all of our sins. But no. Our meek Messiah treats us with such kindness. While we give him the offense of sin, he gives mercy and pardon. We offer him a crown of thorns, and he so kindly offers a crown of glory and a palm of victory. We drive a spear through his side with our ingratitude, and he so meekly offers his sacred heart with infinite love. Jesus Christ came on earth to pay back the debt of man to the infinite justice of God. Once the debt was paid, he offered infinite mercy to us. Whether in glory or in suffering, our Lord was so peaceful, because his meekness drove him to offer mercy throughout. And that virtue of meekness is his glory, my dear faithful, and he asks us to imitate it. Learn of me, for I am meek and humble of heart. As we begin Holy Week, my dear faithful, let us follow our Savior on the way of the cross, not just in the ceremonies, not just in our imagination, but in our hearts. Let us imitate our Savior, especially in that virtue of meekness that Jesus Christ considered his glory. Let us not fail him like the crowds on Palm Sunday. They ran to join in his glory, but so soon after, they would abandon him to his sufferings, and even went further and added to them. Let us, my dear faithful, embrace our cross, our trials of life, with meekness. Strive for this virtue, my dear faithful. Imitate our King, so meek and so humble. Be united with him in virtue, so that you will be united with him in victory as well. If you share with him his crown of thorns in life, know that you too will share with him a crown of glory in the end. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.